Well, also this week, there's a very interesting study which has been done by scientists at the University of Cambridge into obsessive-compulsive disorder. Now, we sometimes trivialise obsessive-compulsive disorder, and we often say scientists, including people like me, are the worst culprits for having it because we tend to be so obsessive about the work that we do. But what obsessive-compulsive disorder is a psychiatric condition. It's very common, in fact. Between about 1% and 3% of the population get it. It tends to have equal numbers of men and women who are affected, but it tends to run in families. And what we know is that in a family who has a person who has obsessive-compulsive disorder, if you're in a first-degree relative, a nearest relative of those people, you have about an eightfold higher chance of having it than the average person in the population. And when you have this condition, what happens is that you are troubled by obsessive thoughts. These are thoughts which keep coming into your mind. You can't get rid of them. And they could be things like you're worried about contamination. You think that you're covered in germs, or you're continuously worried that something horrible might happen to you. And this is distressing enough in itself. But then the other sort of half of the disease is that these obsessive thoughts lead you to carry out some kind of ritual. That's the compulsion. You might, for instance, have to get dressed and undressed multiple times in the morning. You might have to spend 20 minutes washing your hands just to feel clean. You can't leave the house without having turned the lights on and off about 20 times. Now, this sounds a bit trivial, but the fact is that for people who suffer from this, it can take up hours of their day, it can be very distressing, and it can also make people get very depressed. And that can be actually the reason eventually why they seek help. So it would be much better if doctors had a way of diagnosing it sooner, working out who's at risk, and then potentially either preventing it from happening or intervening sooner, because there are some drugs that can make the symptoms better. And what we know about schizophrenia and other psychiatric conditions is that if you give drugs then, and you give them early in the condition, then you generally let the condition doesn't get so bad. And so we think the same thing might apply with obsessive-compulsive disorder. If you intervene sooner, it's easier to treat before it gets entrenched. So Sam Chamberlain, who's a researcher at Cambridge University, has published a paper in Science this week where they took 14 people who had obsessive-compulsive disorder. They took 12 of their nearest relatives, and they also got 14 normal people as controls, and they put them in the brain scanner. And when they're in the scanner, they were shown pictures of a face and a house, and they had to guess which was the right answer. They weren't told what was the right answer. They had to work it out by trial and error, by pressing one of two buttons, face or house. And every time they got it right, six times in a row, because once they'd got it right, they knew which was the right answer. They were then allowed to guess six times in a row, and then the computer muddled them up again, forcing them to relearn which was the right answer again. Now, what this was designed to do was to put the brain under a bit of stress so that it was forcing you to be flexible in your thinking. And by comparing the brain scans of all of the groups, what they found was that the people who had obsessive-compulsive disorder showed a very dramatic reduction in how active a part of the brain called the lateral orbitofrontal cortex, that's the bit of the brain right at the front behind your eyes, was. And it wasn't just the OCD patients, the patients who had the disorder, it was also their nearest relatives who had this too. And what this is showing you is that there's a brain area which is associated with causing this particular set of symptoms, and that rather than being a side effect of having the disease, it may actually be involved in provoking the disease. That's why the relatives showed this as well as the patients. It's just that the relatives hadn't developed the condition yet or been in a situation that would provoke them to develop the condition. And what Sam Chamberlain says is that this could lead to novel ways of diagnosing the condition much sooner. It could also lead to ways for testing drugs that might enable us to work out what's the best way to treat this condition and at what stage. So very encouraging, because it is common and it is very distressing for people who suffer from it.
Definitely, yes. So is the next stage to look at the genes that code for that part of the brain and see if there's something that's being passed down?
Exactly right. So we know that there are some genes which are associated with this condition, but now it's a question of asking, well, how do they impact on this bit of the brain, and how do they impact on the families of people, so that we can begin to match up gene function with brain function, and then also how drugs influence that mix.
Very good, very promising stuff.